Hello, everybody, and this is the Chokehold Podcast, presented by yours truly, Spillage, and I have a special guest with me and a fellow fan of professional wrestling, Oscar, who is also a programmer and designer. And what I'm wearing right here is a legit t-shirt from Alive.Infinite. Go to www.alivexinfinite.com to check out their merchandise and feel your higher self. With that said, Spillage here, and woo, we got a lot to talk about. And this subject is the grievances of the WWE. There's been a lot of talk within the wrestling community regarding the, I would say, the lack of consideration of and lack of leadership of the one and only Vincent Kennedy McMahon, and the way that he's handling his talent, and the way he is handling the situation regarding COVID-19. All right, so let's get started. My goodness, I really don't want this podcast to be just a forum of WWE bashing, because needless to say, there are some occasions where WWE actually had some good shows and actually did well. However, ever since this COVID-19 situation happened, a lot has happened. The plethora of firings, like Black Wednesday, and ever since Black Wednesday, there are a lot of WWE wrestlers that jump shifts somewhere else. Mm-hmm. All right, and hello, Johan Tony T. How you doing? Thank you very much for following. And oh my gosh, the COVID-19 situation, First off, WWE has no business being open. There, I'm just going to just say that off the jump. But for some odd reason, because of the money, it became an essential business. And as a result, how much time for that hair? 5 years. 5 years. I appreciate that.
Now I do have to say that, because you just said something that's very interesting.
Yes.
COVID-19, and how is it that it became an essential business? Does it have anything to do with Vince being friends with Trump? I'm just wondering here. Nothing against Trump and Vince being friends with
that.
That's a bit unfair.
that and those are facts we're talking here. That and the fact that his wife, Linda McMahon, is also a part of the Trump administration. So. Now, given that the governor of Florida at one point, this happened, I say, about within 2 weeks before WrestleMania 36.
Which is weird.
They was planning on shutting down the WWE Performance Center, mm-hmm, because it was not an essential business. The country was basically on shutdown, and WrestleMania was basically dead. Because it was not taking place in Tampa. Fortunately for them, it just who happened to be in Orlando, Florida. And they was about to shut down. The Performance Center got hit with citations and warnings by state troopers and so on. And then all of a sudden, about a week later, before WrestleMania started, all of a sudden it is an essential business now. And now, it just comes to show you, money talks, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So, now, WrestleMania 36 came and went.
Now I want to say one thing before you continue with the WrestleMania 36.
Yes, go ahead.
My question is, I understand that they did do refunds for the arena and stuff like that.
Yes.
So, how is it that you're going to continue this WrestleMania trend in an empty arena?
Well, that was not only the WWE issue. It was basically the number one issue in the wrestling industry. There's a lot of promotions that didn't want to take that chance like Vince McMahon is doing. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of wrestling events that was withheld, such as NWA, the 2020 Crockett Cup, which was supposed to take place over at College Park, mm-hmm. that new arena, mm-hmm. down the street from the Atlanta airport. And the main event was supposed to be for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, the villain Marty Scurll versus the National Treasure Nick Aldis.
That's what the Southern Wrestling League, correct? The Southern Wrestling Company, correct?
Well, I mean, it, to me, originally, yes, the National Wrestling Alliance was more than just a Southern Wrestling promotion. Yeah. It was legit OG. It was one of the original wrestling promotions.
Yeah, because they had, like, what, the NWA title, way, tag titles, right. Back in Royal Rumble, was, yeah. King of the Ring or whatever.
Yeah, it was way... The NWA... And see, Atlanta, Georgia has so much history.
Yeah, wrestling history.
Wrestling history, especially. And NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, was one of the original wrestling promotions. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the WWE... came from the National Wrestling Alliance under the partnership of Vince McMahon Sr. But see, the thing was, before he changed the name to Worldwide Wrestling Federation, yeah. it was Capital Wrestling Corporation.
Yeah,
it was CWC. Yeah. It was one of the territories of the National Wrestling Alliance.
Yeah.
So once Vince Sr. branched out of the National Wrestling Alliance, then in the early 60s it became Worldwide Wrestling Federation, with the original Nature Boy Buddy Rogers being the first WWF champion.
Yeah, that was a lot of so many of them that you could just jump ship from one to the other, and whoever had the best person, regardless, you end up like making a lot of money back then. But that back then they had like what, a creed that you don't, you know, tread on their water back then. But Vince, like, Vince, well, I wouldn't even call him senior. I mean, Vince Jr., he just didn't give a fuck. Like, I want to create something, and I want your business.
But that, let me tell you something. Big shout out to Paul Heyman, because let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody could break it down better, it was definitely Paul Heyman, the champion of the mic. Because there was this one segment on SmackDown when he called Vince McMahon out.
Yeah.
It was like a go-home show before the 2001 WWE-WCW Invasion pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Which would have been good if they had the right amount of cast. Like
right.
Goldberg, Stone Cold, The Rock,
right.
Sting. If you would have just waited, or if you would have just let WCW live a little bit longer to build up to that point, you know what I'm saying, then the invasion angle would have worked. But
that's for a whole nother episode. That's for a whole nother episode.
We go to the
I'm gonna correct myself. It was Survivor Series.
Survivor Series.
Oh, it was a go home show of the Survivor Series.
Yeah, still the Invasion era.
Yeah, it was the Invasion era, but the Survivor Series of 2001 was the end of that Invasion era.
Yeah, because I remember Vince bawled out, because I know Paul was working for Vince around WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
So I do remember that, because he was sitting there on the mic at WrestleMania 17.
But speaking of Paul Heyman, we're gonna get with him. We're gonna get right on him later.
We love
on,
you, Paul. You're awesome.
Yes, absolutely. But after WrestleMania 36 became a success, and I feel like the only thing that saved those two shows were the Firefly Funhouse match between Bray Wyatt and John Cena. And the Boneyard match. Let me just make this perfectly clear. It was a buried alive match, okay? I don't know why people keep calling it a Boneyard match. It was a buried alive match. That's exactly what it was. It was a buried alive match. when the match you had, they had a showdown in the cemetery, and the match ends when somebody gets buried alive, and that's exactly what it was, a buried alive match.
Ironic though,
when they call it a boneyard match as if it's brand new. It ain't new. It just had a new name.
But here's the funny thing. You want to hear something really ironic? Okay, if you ever played WWE 2K2020, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, I believe it's 2019. Yeah, 2019.
Uh-huh.
It's very ironic how they actually have something that's called a Boneyard match, and you're wrestling in an empty arena. It's like they predicted this shit.
Epic foreshadowing.
Hey, they're sensing, apparently. Where's Homer? We can need him.
It's cool that somebody from Europe is checking out on this podcast. Hey, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for listening to us. Because if you love wrestling just as much as we do, then this podcast is definitely for you. Big shout out to Problem Solving. And let me tell you something, problem solving. If you're a real problem solver, please come down to WWE and fix this Vince McMahon problem. Because let me tell you something. Vince McMahon is the problem of his own company.
He was the one that made everything perfect. That's the part about it.
No, I'm dead serious. Because after WrestleMania, the WWE was supposed to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But Vince McMahon, being Vince McMahon, refused to close the WWE. The show must go on. Mm-hmm. That's his. Yes. The show must go on. That is his mentality. That has always been his mentality. Mm-hmm. Don't believe me, then check out my previous episode regarding my review of Dark Side of the Ring series finale regarding Owen Hart, and that will validate my point. Now, moving on, Vince McMahon threw caution to the wind when it comes to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, instead of taking super precautions for the welfare of his employees, he fired most of them. He fired a lot of wrestlers and backstage staff. They got rid of Mike Chioda.
Yeah. He's been around since the Hardy Boy days, early Stone Cold. You remember? Wasn't Mike Chioda the one that was stood at the mic at when Stone Cold won the King of the Ring? He was standing there like, what, you have something to say, Stone Cold? Yeah, Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass. It's like, oh no, you can't say it on camera.
Mike Chioda has been in the WWE as almost as long as Earl Hebner. He was, yeah. after Hefner left, Mike Chioda was officially the oldest referee they had.
He was a referee. I'm thinking of,
About the referee.
Yeah, the referee. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the referee,
Mike Chioda.
Dang, I can't even think of his name. He used to be the manager for the Hardy Boys back in the day in the Attitude Era. You know what I'm talking about? Sorry with the T, and I can't think of his doggone name. Guy, he's a blonde, big, heavyset dude. I can't think of his name. He's a talent agent right now, I think.
Oh, you're talking about that dude. What's his name? From Michael P.S. Hayes.
Yeah. I think that's what his name is. I can't remember
that
his name.
Guy. That guy.
I thought he got rid of him. I was like, you finally got rid of him?
No. Oh, no. He's still there.
Oh, he's still there? Oh, yeah. He'll never get rid of him.
He's still there. But Mike Chioda, he was the oldest and longest reigning referee the WWE had until they kicked him to the curb.
Wow.
They kicked him to the curb. They got rid of Rusev.
Is Earl still working?
Earl Hebner.
I think he works for AWA. No, I'm sorry. AEW. I think he works AEW.
I think he's semi-retired, because the last time I actually saw Earl Hebner do some officiating, it was All In.
No, hold up. Remember, he does have a twin brother.
That's right.
And it's hard as hell to tell them apart, which is the funny thing about it.
I still remember
that episode. I was like, that's his twin brother. I was like, He has a twin brother. He looks just like his.
But I know for a fact that his son is the referee for the National Wrestling Alliance.
Oh, okay, cool.
That I do know for a fact. But they got rid of a lot of people right after WrestleMania. Drew Gulak quit. Wow. And he finally had his WrestleMania moment, and now, and he's gone. Then you had Sami Zayn. He was stripped of the Intercontinental Championship because of...
I had to pause right there. I'm sorry. Sami Zayn, although he may be a comedian, he has what it takes to be up there. Give the man an opportunity. So this is the problem with Vince. If you ain't big and bulky, you ain't going to be your champion. That's my quality. Vince, what happened to you back in the Attitude Era days where everybody respected you? Because you gave everybody, even the mid-card, their due.
Truth be told, I don't think people respected Vince McMahon then. It's just that the fact of the matter is, back then, what made the Attitude Era special is that everybody... Everybody had an important role.
Yeah. It was
everybody's role was just as important. Whether you were a main eventer or a mid-carder.
What Stone Cold, you say? Everybody was a shark back then. Everybody smelled blood in the water. They didn't care. Everybody was going for something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it didn't even matter with the story arc. Because the story arc was, you know, you could have a really crappy story arc, but you always had somebody to dance with that made your story actually worth it.
And on top of everything else, the talent created their own promos. They make the people believe their hype. Can you imagine the Attitude Era when Vince McMahon just completely give The Rock and Stone Cold and The Undertaker and Kurt Angle scripts that they have to say no matter how terrible the writing is?
I can tell you right now, he tried giving Stone Cold a script, and you know what he said? Fuck this script. I'm taking the flight home. Screw you. I'm packing my bags and going home. You know what I'm saying? But when the money got tight, finally he came back. But, you know, at that time, I don't blame him. You know what I'm saying? But to be told, okay, I'm going to ask you this question. Where do you feel it all went wrong? Where do you feel the way it all went downhill? Because I'm going to tell you right now, what all went downhill was that Raw episode here in Atlanta when Stone Cold didn't show up. And the reason being, because they wanted him to have a one-on-one battle where he would lose to Brock Lesnar.
He didn't want
to
be fed to Brock Lesnar. Is another thing that is one of... This whole point of this episode is we airing all the grievances of the WWE.
It wasn't the fact that he didn't want to be fed to Brock Lesnar. It's the fact that there wasn't a build-up for him to lose to Brock Lesnar. And I agree. There was no build-up. Like, if you throw Brock Lesnar, it's like you're throwing a complete random individual. Yeah, he's a big, bulky person. Who the hell is this? You fucked with my fame. You messing up my character.
Your hard work.
He's just random. It's like, I'm sorry for those who are Star Wars fans. It's like you're throwing Rey at Luke. Or Rey at Darth Vader and expecting her to automatically win. Period. You don't do that. That's like, she's not going to beat Darth Vader. Are you crazy? This man is like, I don't have time to do showboating. Slights. I'm chopping your head off. I don't have time for that. That's Stone Cold in a sense. Like, this would be the same thing with Brock Lesnar. I am the big dog in the ring.
Right. And see that's the thing, which is one of the biggest problems with the WWE, is how they treat their talent. How they treat their talent is a problem. When they let go of all these wrestlers, and then they was like, you know what? We're going to ban the mask. What?
How do you do that? At this point, you need it.
On the verge of this pandemic, where people are literally legit dying, masks are banned at the performance center.
Yeah. And the ironic part about it is, this drives me freaking crazy. Okay. The only person I know that actually beat the curve and survived all this would have to be Triple H himself. He's the only one that knew the formula to winning this. Bed with the owner's daughter. sleep with Steph, you'll be fine. That's basically what that is.
It's all about the game and how you play it.
And how you play it, and he played it well and won.
I digress, but here's the thing. Back to the subject at hand. Mm. It's just it just showcased a lack of leadership and lack of concern. It's like the only thing Vince cares about is money, money, money. Just make the money.
If that's the case, so, you're about the XFL like you've been planning.
And that's another thing that I just realized. I just realized this. Becky Lynch was already pregnant when she beat Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania.
Who's pregnant?
Becky Lynch. So she was the first pregnant woman to ever wrestle at WrestleMania and won.
I didn't even know that because I didn't even. You talking about this past WrestleMania?
Yes, because
I didn't wrestle
about a few weeks later, like right after the Money in the Bank match, that's when she made the announcement when she relinquished her title because of her pregnancy. But then there were different sources that were saying that she was already pregnant by the time she was wrestling at WrestleMania. And I was like, damn.
So if that was the case,
they should have just dropped the belt to Shayna Baszler, like they were supposed to. They build this, which validates my point some more about how they treat their talent. They build their talent up just so they can lose at an event that matters the most.
And I'm gonna respond to Problem Solver's response. And you're right. Triple H actually has some damn good ideas. You wanna know why? But Triple H still runs with the same crew, Road Dogg. One of them, and some of the other, you know, writers who are currently there. Let's look at NXT.
Yeah.
NXT is actually being ran well by Triple H. First week of AEW, when they first got on TNT, they were doing good. Then they started losing momentum because NXT was winning. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because Triple H's leadership. You know what I'm saying? And I saw some, like, promo of him. And he really shows that he actually cares about his wrestlers. He cares about his crew.
That's his brand. That's his baby. That's his brand. Of course.
That's the baby, right? That is the freaking baby. Look, I will not sit here and tell you this stuff.
Jesus. I'm God. Thank you for following.
I will not sit here and tell you this and say, okay, Vince, you're running your company. You did as best as you could, but now you're running into the goddamn ground. You can either get it to Steph, Shane, and they can get it to Triple H. Because literally, they might as well do that. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and go to XFL and call a goddamn day.
Honest to God, I feel at this point, if the WWE, I feel like if the Vince is so stubborn to the point that if the WWE actually dies, I think he would be fine with it as long as he capitalizes as much money as humanly possible. I mean, think about it. Think about how it went down in Saudi Arabia.
Oh God! Don't you get me started with that.
Okay. How that went down?
First off, I need to. Ooh, my brain is about to explode off that one. Okay. Wait,
can you imagine if your boss left your ass in a place where they could just simply
told me before I got on the flight here, they stopped the flight and held them hostage and lied and said, I don't even care if it was a lie or not, you left your people there and got on your flight.
Yeah, it was a lie, saying that they had some mechanical issues on the plane. That was bullshit.
Automatically, and here's the funny thing, after a few weeks later, next thing you hear, same location, a passenger plane got shot down randomly, and they apologized for it by a missile. Imagine if that was a WWE crew. What you gonna say then, Vince? That we still gonna go over there? Hell yeah! I'm not going over there. You crazy? Is you out your mind? They're at war. They don't like us right now. You're talking about beheading us? Seriously? Would you go over there if I was a wrestler? I don't care. I quit. There's plenty of other companies. I'll make my own.
That was the final straw that broke Carl Anderson's back, because Anderson and Gallows, they're gone. The Revival, they're gone and jump ship to AEW. There are rumors saying that Anderson Gallows might jump back to the New Japan Pro Wrestling or Impact Wrestling on Slammiversary July 17th? We don't know. But there is a lot of wrestlers that was gone from the WWE, and they're jumping ship to other promotions.
Like, I will say this. I don't mind the fact that they going to Saudi Arabia. I welcome it. I fucking welcome it. They need to go out, you know, Japan, Russia, freaking, instead of Canada, you know, go to Mexico, go to Brazil sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I miss those old days when they travel outside of these other countries, man. You don't do that anymore. You don't do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what happened to the old days? What happened to the old days? Come on! What happened to the old days? Think on it. Like, yeah, I'm sure.
That was not a good look. That was not a good look on Vince McMahon. For him to just hop on a plane and leave his employees there in a hostile environment like Saudi Arabia.
Like, I put you like this. Okay, if it was you and Vince,
if he was that capable, then why is everybody so surprised?
If it was you in his shoes, what would you do? And you have $200 million. What was it? $200 million. You was in debt. What would you do in that situation?
Well, I would do in the situation. Well, first off, I am responsible for my employees or independent contractors, whatever the hell you want to call them. The fact of the matter is, in my company, I am responsible for my employees' well-being. Yeah. That could have been an epic lawsuit if anything would have happened to them, and that all of that could have been prevented if Vince McMahon or whoever had a disagreement with.
Certain decisions Vince does make kind of make sense, in my opinion. But in certain situations, you got to think outside the box. Get them a plane. Spend some of your money. Like, okay, perfect example. The Nintendo company owner, when his company was starting to take some hits, he said, you know what? I'm going to take a hit for myself and cut half of my pay. Let my pay get dropped so that we can keep the employees. You could take a little bit of your money from your account to, you know, fund to get a plane for your own people so they won't have that same problem. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. See, that's the issue. I agree with some of Vince's decisions to continue to go to Saudi Arabia because that's where the money is. But I do not agree putting your employees in danger like that. You know, there has to be a better way. That means you're pocketing the money, but you're not focusing on protecting your own staff.
Which also valid, which brings me back to the subject regarding, you know what I'm saying, the whole COVID-19 situation, but because of the negligence of Vince McMahon, a lot, and I do mean a lot, of employees of that company is tested positive for COVID-19, and one of them is reportedly Renee Young, Jamie Noble, and you know what I'm saying? All of that could have been avoided. Now, this is how this will impact the entire wrestling industry, because guess what? Renee Young is the wife of AEW champion Jon Moxley. Now, he could be infected with the COVID. Mm-hmm. That would have affected
her.
That could have affected the other business. Because next Wednesday, two weeks from Wednesday, night two of the free edition of Fyter Fest. It's not a pay-per-view. It's originally a pay-per-view, but is on TNT. Jon Moxley will have to face the former Impact Wrestling champion, Brian Cage.
So I haven't been paying attention to Impact lately.
No, Brian Cage is a new addition to All Elite Wrestling. He was a former Impact Wrestling champion. And so he jumped ship to All Elite Wrestling with Taz as his manager.
Wait, Taz on came back?
Yeah, Taz, yeah, he was he became an announcer since I think it's the early episodes of AEW Dark on YouTube. He became a guest commentator until he became a regular. So now he's a regular at AEW Dark. on show on YouTube, and now he's also a manager to Brian Cage. And Taz definitely have
due to the fact that I now know Taz is back. I'm going to be watching. You said it was Impact. That guy's back?
No. All Elite Wrestling.
All Elite Wrestling has him.
Yeah, AEW has a lot. They got star power, man. To be honest with you, AEW has the best tag team division in the business, in the industry, period.
AEW has a lot of characters. I don't care what a lot of people say about Chris Jericho. He made the right decision by jumping ship, yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Being the fact that money was involved, yes. But and two,
the thing is, Chris,
you ain't got nothing else to do.
Jericho cares about professional wrestling.
Yeah.
He cares so much that he's willing to... He put over a lot of guys. Even his tenure in WWE, he put over Fandango. He put over a lot of guys who he saw has potential. That's what I like about Chris Jericho. He gives people chances what Vince McMahon does not. Now, so before I get back to the subject, AEW, I'm going to give you the list of the tag teams in their division. Mm-hmm. The Young Bucks.
I heard them, yeah.
The Lucha Brothers.
I seen them when they first started.
FTR, formerly known as The Revival. They left WWE, and now they are in AEW.
Shut the fuck. Oh, excuse me, I know it's live, but...
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Are you serious?
They debuted 2 weeks ago.
Vince, you're fucked. Your company is screwed.
Which validates my point, because of Vince McMahon's lack of leadership, the tag team divisions there in the WWE is a joke. Like a legit joke.
You remember back in the day with the tag team divisions, like I said, I hate to bring up, even the Golden Age, they had some damn good tag teams. They had damn good tag teams back in the Golden Age. Hulk Hogan era? Yeah. They had some good tag teams. They weren't all perfect, you know, pay-per-views, but still, they had some damn good tag teams.
They wasted a lot of talent, and see, this is the consequences of Vince McMahon neglecting his talent in more than one way. He created his own competition, and it didn't have to be. The Revival is a great tag team, but Vince just
first off, I know where the mistake came in.
Yeah.
Was when, and I'm going to say this, problem solver, you said the right thing. Their tag team are but let's put it down on the table. I'm sorry, but you should have not split up your damn brand. Why the hell would you do, Team Raw, Team SmackDown? No! Keep it as the set schedule. When I come on to see your show, I'm seeing Raw to see what Stone Cold and The Rock are doing against Triple H that day, and I'm waiting to see what's going to happen on SmackDown and that day with the same damn cast and characters. You know what I'm saying? They're getting fully in work. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, if he would have never bought his competition, if he would have just kept WCW alive
and built that
company, and he would manage, he would have the best of both worlds, and he don't have to worry about, you know what I'm saying, splitting brands.
Now, but that's the issue with Vince.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say this very clear, and we all can see this shit. When he brought back ECW and he had the nerve to try to come out and try to be ECW champion with his little rock in his hat walk, you know, business walk, or whatever the hell it is that he did. The power walk. And it's like Paul Heyman said, it's like, I had a vision to bring back ECW, make it a lot better. We have the fund now, we have the money for it, and all that good stuff. Because back then, he didn't really have the money like that.
Here's a fun fact. I actually did the power walk, the Vince McMahon power walk, at my college graduation, walking the aisle. That's a fact.
I didn't see a lot. My graduation, I did do the rock Nick thing with the eyebrow.
That's a fact. I did that. That felt pretty damn good. I ain't gonna lie.
It does feel good.
But anyway, but anyway, yes, that is a very valid point, because Vince brought back ECW just so he can kill it.
Burn it down. And that's the thing.
And he killed it. But here's the thing that happened. And under the ashes of the ECW was the birth of NXT 10 years ago. It's been 10 years.
Well, NXT actually started off from that little tag team group. What the hell did they name that?
It was more like a It was more like a pseudo tough enough type of thing when they were searching for new talent.
Even Jim Cornette's, I'm sorry, I keep butchering his last name. Jim's show in Oklahoma, I believe it was Oklahoma.
Oh, tell me, OVW?
Yeah, OVW. That was damn fucking good, dude. Like, they even had, you know, some of the wrestlers like Kane and stuff come up and show up, you know, randomly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where they got majority of their talent. And then as I hear from Jim himself, they brought in, what's his name? That big, bulky dude, pretty boy that Stephanie liked. Can't even think of his name. Nah, it wasn't that bulky dude. What's that doggone manager's name that he took over as general manager of Raw? Blonde-haired dude. Old guy.
Oh, John Laurinaitis?
Mm-hmm. He took over.
I actually met Laurinaitis. He's a cool dude.
He is a cool dude.
He's a cool dude.
And it's like, it's not, I know it's not his fault, but it's just the way he's, like, he's written in on those storylines and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if you would have kept OVW going, you would have had Jim, you know, running it for a while. Because, yeah, Jim does mess up a lot on a lot of things, but he comes from an era of major company hot. And you think it doesn't work anymore. It still works because you still have those same old fans that's willing to look at it. Those are your most dedicated ones. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
And you want to speak, you want to talk about leaders. Okay. What the hell is Vince McMahon doing with Paul Heyman? Do you know how much hair Paul Heyman lost working for Vince McMahon? It's like every time I see him, he loses a little bit of hair. His bald spot is getting bigger and bigger out of pure stress because Vince McMahon keeps changing his roles over and over again.
Okay, that's not all. What's up with what was the other guy from WCW? Eric Bischoff. Like, I'll come every time you hire him, but you can't keep him. Like,
total waste of time. When I saw word that Eric Bischoff was running SmackDown, and I was like, huh?
And that's the thing. If you want to hire Eric Bischoff, you might want to hire Hulk Hogan. You might want to hire Hulk Hogan if you want to bring him coming down in the ground even further.
No. The reason why he ain't hiring Hogan to be in charge because he saw what he did over at Impact 10 years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, Vince ain't stupid. I can tell you that right now. He may make dumb decisions, but having Hogan in charge of anything behind the scenes, he ain't that stupid.
Okay, so I'm going to create a scenario right here. I'm just going to be real. Okay. Mm-mm. Get Triple H, his crew. And I'm going to say, just start off with NXT. Because WWE is basically, the product is so saturated with such a bad stink that you can't really fix it right now. You know what I'm saying? Even if you bring Stone Cold back for his last match, wouldn't matter. The Rock wouldn't matter. None of them would matter. You know what I'm saying?
Here's what's gonna happen if Vince doesn't stop with his bullshit. Mm-hmm. Fox is gonna drop SmackDown.
Oh, they're already on the point. Well, as I hear,
They already dropped WWE backstage on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah.
I mean, CM Punk just got his check for doing little to nothing.
And he's good with it. And the mess of part about it, due to the fact that he showed up, the show actually had great ratings. So why the hell would you close it down? Bring him back!
WWE backstage came and went. As a matter of fact, the show died last week. So, again, this is a domino effect of the most recent lack of good decision making from Vince McMahon. Most of your good talent's gone. The Undertaker
retired.
Officially retired until Vince called him up and say, "Hey, my ratings are really bad. Can you just please show up? I'll throw in some extra million." He'll do it.
You gotta run that gift. We need some money.
He'll do it. Taker will do it.
We just need some money.
I can just picture that phone call around 2 in the morning. Undertaker out here just sleeping, trying to get his rest. And then Vince, "Hey, Mark, yeah, this is Vince. Yeah, I need a favor. I need you to show up."
"Vince, my back is killing me, man. I can't do it."
I hear what you're saying, but I hear what you're saying. But hear me out.
Look, you're gonna you just show up. Bitch, shut up.
Show slam, Steve, and then just walk away.
Call Steve. I can't do this anymore, Vince.
You know it's coming, right? You hear it first. Yes, Taker is retired for now. Bro. Look what happened to Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels haven't stepped in the ring in over 8 years, and he came back for Saudi Arabia, and it was a huge cluster. It was a cluster.
That man, and the messed up part about it was, how the hell you gonna have a match with Goldberg and a match be that terrible? Stop bringing your people back out. Once you have them on the shelf, that's it. Don't bring them back
but
out.
But see, that's my point. If Vince McMahon would do what he's supposed to do with pushing his current talent, his current roster, then he wouldn't have to cough up all this money to bring back old wrestlers back.
I have to disagree with...
Who are retired and semi-retired.
I have to disagree with the Big Show on this one. One character they really need to push hard, Braun Strowman. They need to push him. He is a beast. Him... Versus, dang, I can't even think of his
name. They haven't done Braun Strowman right. The only reason why that he's Universal Champion in the first place is because, understandably, Roman Reigns used his head and stayed the hell away from the WWE because of the way they handled the COVID-19 situation. Mm-hmm. The man just recovered from leukemia.
Yep. And as soon as it hits him, that's it.
He's and gone. On top of that, he just had, his wife just had twins.
Yep.
He has a family to take care of, but how can he take care of his family if he can't take care of himself?
Yep. So, all I gotta say about that is like, after this is all said and done and you still can't get people in the arena, nobody's gonna pay for that anyway, because nobody wanna watch an empty arena. The fans is what made it work.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Roman Reigns was supposed to face Goldberg. Why? I don't understand why, but...
If the match with Goldberg and The Undertaker didn't work out, then why the hell you think that's going to work?
Because Oldberg felt bad about what happened over at Saudi Arabia. So, like The Undertaker, he's trying to redeem himself because, you know, and trying to make himself... look good. But see, here's the thing. You're in your 50s. 50 means 50. Like, the man barely... The man was so winded when he faced Bray Wyatt for the Universal Championship. He was so tired. He was so tired. And I just don't understand Vince's way of thinking. Like, why you keep bringing... semi-retired slash or retired wrestlers back to save your show. If you would just push your talent that you already
you have NXT that is basically your talented roster right now. Don't bring them over to no stupid invasion angle. Don't bring them over and then switch out their names and their character concepts.
And that's another thing. Those storylines are recycled.
Yeah.
He's recycling storylines. Why are you recycling a storyline, bringing back a rivalry that wasn't good in the first place between the Big Show and Randy Orton? Tell me, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
Why would you create a storyline, the same storyline with Mandy Rose and Otis? And you know what I'm saying? And they could. I watched wrestling long enough to know that Mandy Rose is going to stab Otis in the back. It's that Trish Stratus and Chris Jericho storyline.
Yeah.
From back in 2004.
See, the only difference is.
And so don't be surprised if she turns her back on Otis and decided to go with his tag team partner.
Yeah, the only difference is
obvious.
They're just not big enough. They're just not, you know, famous enough like that. Like, I'm not saying just because we don't know them by name. No, we just don't care enough about them for us to even give a shit. Because literally, if we cared enough, we wouldn't even care about the storyline. You know what I'm saying? If we cared enough.
they recycled a lot of stuff. Why is Kevin Owens doing the Stone Cold Stunner when he has a finishing move of his own?
He asked Stone Cold, can I do the stunner? Sure, man, you can do the stunner. Because Stone Cold said that's his favorite character. Okay, first off, Kevin Owens, I get it. You're trying to be another Stone Cold, but it ain't going to work. It's not working for you. You need your own gimmick. Like they say in wrestling, be yourself. Be somebody else. Don't be, you know, somebody that you want to be, like Stone Cold. Be Kevin Owens. You know what I'm saying?
But Charlotte Flair got mad at ESPN for having a little marquee that displayed daughter of Ric Flair because she felt like she's her own
fucking person. I agree. But I do like her,
she is her own person outside the wrestling ring. Yes, but Charlotte Flair is basically a copy of the Nature Boy Ric Flair. There's another thing about Vince McMahon that I don't understand. Why are you keep putting her in title pictures? She went from Raw Women's Championship contender to NXT Women's Championship contender to Smack. She was the number one contender of all the women's championships within a month.
First off, will you tell me that? And here's the thing, like I said, I love the heck out of Charlotte. I love her. She needs better, you know, guidance as far as winning championships. When you tell me, here's the thing, when you tell me that both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship all gonna be, you know, unified in one single WrestleMania match, in that triple threat match, I'm expecting it to be one title. One freaking title. Not two. One.
Now, let me also point, and I agree with problem solving right here. Yes, I'm not hating on Charlotte. She is an amazing talent. She is athletic as hell. Great worker. Great professional wrestler. However, she's been pushed so much to the point that it's criminal. It's like they pushed her as if she's like the only. She's one of the few female wrestlers in the roster, which she isn't. She's a part of many in the women's division. And you know what I'm saying? Like, for example, Rhea Ripley. You know what I'm saying? So many others. So, you know, Shayna Baszler. You know what I'm saying?
Don't even get me started with the whole Mae Young incident with having to remove her.
You know what I'm saying? There's so many so much talent that, you know, that could really showcase their worth if they were champion. But they keep giving the title to Charlotte Flair. It doesn't make sense.
They're doing it just like how they did with John Cena. John Cena has surpassed The Rock in title wins. And The Rock is much more popular than that man.
Here's the Ruthless Aggression era in a nutshell. John Cena, Randy Orton, Edge, Brock Lesnar, champions. The end. Oh, and Triple H. The end.
The only Attitude Era person that wins the most is Triple H, and that's it. Since Rock
Those four I just named, they're facing each other at some point in time. That's the whole Ruthless era Ruthless Aggression era in a nutshell.
After The Rock and Stone Cold left, that was it. Everything went downhill from there.
Charlotte Flair is an 11-time women's champion, and she only been in the WWE for, I say, with 5 years now? How the hell you're 11-time world champion in 5 years?
That is true. He did tie, John Cena did tie Ric Flair in world champions, so I'll give you that one. I forgot Ric Flair has won, and the WCW title, I will admit. Out of all the wrestling characters, he is a straight-up legend.
Listen, as far as Ric Flair is concerned, I think he's a 26-time world champion. If there are some championship reigns that WWE is not counting. Because keep in mind, WWE is good at creating their own story and their own history. Ric Flair won more titles than 16 times.
Do you realize
I'm just saying.
I believed that Hulk Hogan was born in Hollywood. But in truth, you were born in Florida.
But back to the subject at hand. Vince McMahon has run people ragged. There are so many writers that quit. There are so many people in his own board that quit. they're, you know, Paul Heyman is basically a revolving door. It's like, okay, you win, and then a few weeks later, you're out, you're fired. And, you know,
it's like the ratings aren't doing good, boss is complaining.
It's one, it's one big, giant cluster. It is a giant cluster right now. People are getting infected left and right with the COVID-19. Vince is doing little to nothing about it. It's affecting the entire industry, and on top of everything else, the sex allegations.
I wonder when you're gonna get on that one. I definitely want to hop on the Velveteen
Velveteen Dream. I know this is, but we're gonna stick to the how it's affecting the WWE, like the allegations, how it's affecting wrestling, not just wrestling, but just the entire entertainment industry as a whole. We'll get to that on the next episode. Mm-hmm. But Velveteen Dream, yeah, he might as well be done with WWE.
Either that, and they didn't actually help him out with that situation. I'll put you like this. To me, okay, even I have to agree with Jim on this one. Okay, why is it your business who you send that photo to? And if they knew how old they were and they didn't disclose that with him, then it's not his fault. You know what I'm saying? The fact that they disclosed that to the rest of the world, then they're blackmailing him at this point.
here's the thing. Okay, now here is the thing. Because we live in a time now where all it takes is one accusation and you're done.
Yeah.
They don't ask questions. They don't investigate. It's a wrap. You're done. It's just like back in the old days. Because I'm going to tap into the dark history of this country. Oh, yeah. And all it takes was just a false accusation. And that was a wrap. They did their do you in it, and that was it. Mm-hmm. But now, in this day and age of 2020, people's careers are down the drain. People's careers are tarnished. Their reputation is forever tarnished. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a 50-50. Because half the time, the person who were accused actually did that shit.
Of course.
Let's just call it a spade now.
Of course.
I'm just saying. So
I've seen it.
And then on the other side of the coin, there are times that some people were, you know, completely fabricated the accusation. They just doing it for some payback.
Now the Velveteen Dream thing, I've seen the photos. Yeah, that's him. That was him. Because he got the hair on the chest and everything. That's him. So I can't even say it wasn't him.
I rest my case.
The question is, did these kids actually admit that they were 16 before he did it?
I don't want to dig deeper into that.
That's the question.
But I'm not gonna dig deeper into that. But straight to the subject at hand, that second wave that is impacting the WWE, Vince is handling it quickly as hell. He was like, okay, you're fired. Okay, you're important, so you're suspended. But you're fired.
So I'm asking this question. How do you think they should fix this? I would say the government decides, okay, Vince, we do consider you as an important thing for entertainment. Like, say, old Gladiator days, we got to keep you running because people are going crazy and we need some kind of entertainment. All right. We're going to give you $200 million to replace that in Saudi Arabia loss or whatever. And he has an opportunity to fix this issue. What do you think the first thing he needs to do to fix it? Who should he bring in? Who should he remove?
Well, as far as removing, he needs to remove himself.
Okay, who should he bring in then?
He needs to remove himself. And as far as...
Because this is for the survival of the WWE.
Yes. So for the survival of WWE, Vince McMahon needs to step down.
Okay. But who's to replace him? Because I'll put you like this. If he pulls a WCW, where Ted Turner owned the company, and then he sold it off, and then the company that had it screwed it up, where Bischoff and their writing crew, you know what I'm saying?
It's pretty obvious that whoever will take Vince McMahon's place will definitely be in the McMahon family. That's a given.
Yeah, that's a given.
It doesn't need to be Stephanie McMahon. It had to be between Shane McMahon and Triple H.
Give it to Shane. The reason why I say give it to Shane, think on the Attitude Era as far as, now he keep bringing it up. He was also part of the Stone Cold thing. You know what I'm saying? Where Stone Cold, you know, I had my dad do this, I had my dad do that. You know, I betrayed you, Stone Cold. I got you out of prison, but I betrayed you. You know what I'm saying? He's part of that.
But I would agree with you on that. Shane McMahon had a lot of ideas that he... This is what drove him away from WWE for many, many years. He pitched a lot of ideas to his dad, Vince, and Vince shut it down completely. He begged the man. It came from Shane McMahon's mouth. Mm-hmm. He begged the man to buy UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Yep.
When Ultimate Fighting Championship was for sale, he begged this man to buy it, and he didn't.
A lot of people don't know this. I believe it was SummerSlam 1999. They had a UFC match. In the crowd, they had the whole Octagon Arena. It was Ken Shamrock versus somebody else. I think it was Ken Shamrock versus Steve Blackman. I think you remember that match?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Shane's way of saying, get UFC. Vince didn't want it. He didn't feel like there was going to be any profit out of it. So, if that's the case, then Vince, it's your loss. Because now the UFC is like... damn near more money than yours.
Vince danced to the beat of his own drum. No matter how many brilliant minds are shouting ideas in his ear, he's saying, it's my company, it's my way. Fine. But don't be surprised or mad when people leave and jump ship. And this is what is happening right now. Baron Corbin is upset with WWE reportedly because of how he is being handled against Matt Riddle. He feel like Matt Riddle didn't earn that type of rivalry with Baron Corbin.
Now you see what we're talking about with Stone Cold. Brock Lesnar didn't earn that rivalry with him. You know what I'm saying? That's why he packed his bag and left. You know, and Stone Cold was your big money bag at that time. And you're getting mad at him because he left. And mind you, no offense to Jim Ross, and I understand, I respect what you had to say on the matter. But Jim, you were in the wrong for that because, quite frankly, yeah, and I know it was different to the DNAs, and the incident was a complete, you know, cluster. Stone Cold had every right to leave. You're not finna just ruin my character. Period. So
especially working so hard
to
maintain it, and then after all the money I made for you, and you just gonna just throw me in the chopping block.
That's been
one of the biggest problems with the WWE under Vince's leadership. He builds up the new talent to the point that when he reached to their top stars, he just sacrificed them. Wade Barrett.
Knows he has a trend though.
Rusev.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
Ricochet? Mm-hmm. What Vince did to Ricochet is criminal. Downright criminal. He might as well go to AEW at this point.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though, because if you ever notice the trend with Vince, he has certain things that he likes. He did the whole muscle thing, didn't work out, stuck with wrestling. Then he did the NFL thing because he wants to have a rivalry with the NFL. Still didn't work. Tried it again, still didn't work. Now he's trying it a third time. Still not going to work. You know what I'm saying? We all know it's not going to work. But we'll see. We'll see. But as far as the WWE is concerned, Vince is not going to let it go.
Matt Hardy's recent run in his previous run in WWE, it's plain and simple. If Vince McMahon doesn't step down, the WWE is going to die. You all know what he's going to do? I'm going to kill what I created. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to inject the WWE with a lethal dose of poison. If anybody's going to kill my creation, I'm going to do it. Me, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And you're not lying. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Chokehold Podcast, Episode 7. And tune in next time when my buddy and I will talk about the allegations that impacting the world of wrestling. Yeah, you don't want to miss this, folks. Until then, take care and be safe. Please wash your hands, cover your face. Do what you gotta do to stay alive. This COVID ain't no joke. All right. Have a good one.